so serious.
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the toy department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, another edition of the toy department. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky. Quick one today, Matt.
Yep, that's on me. If you can tell by my voice, I'm literally 5 minutes awake after sleeping through my alarm and not being prepared for this at all. So should be exciting.
What sort of late night vision stands through the head of one Matt Kolsky?
Late night vision?
Yeah.
Like, you mean what was I doing at 2 a.m. last night when I should have been sleeping?
I mean, you were just in a dream state. Were there little sheep flying over your head?
I never remember dreams.
So you have sleep apnea like me, basically, is what you're saying.
I don't know that I have sleep apnea, but I very rarely remember dreams. In fact, in the last several years, I remember just one dream. That was pretty disturbing, and I'd rather not talk about it.
Okay. I don't want to get too much in your sleep habits, but, like, do you snore?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. All right, well, maybe you don't have sleep apnea, but a lot of times that's what it is if you're not
– I allegedly do some, like, low-key giggling in my sleep.
Interesting.
But I do not remember.
I could totally see you with, like, a restless leg or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that sounds like me.
All right. So we're going to kind of quickly run through, a few different topics this week. Should we start with kind of the news of the day? I mean, we were on the eve of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, we sure are.
Actually, you know what? Just a quick detour, sure. Because you not only are you situated in the home of the NBA Finals, there's a Stanley Cup final happening in your midst right now. And I'm just curious, how much do people care about that where you are at?
I think that can be hard to judge, especially when you're in a city that has the NBA finals as well. I think people care. You know, there are. I'm double skewed because on one hand, I'm talking Warriors constantly because they're in the finals and I work for the Warriors station. On the other hand, I work for a sports station, so I hear a fair amount of Shark excitement. And I think people definitely care. Now, they may be the same people that always care about the Sharks who are just louder now, but people care. And, you know, there is something too, and again, it's hard for me to know if this permeates too far outside of my sports bubble, but I think it definitely is true that hockey's playoffs are, if not the most exciting playoffs of all, they are certainly the biggest jump in excitement from regular season to playoffs. So it's got that working for it.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying it's not a valid event. I was just curious. You know, I spent time obviously in the Bay. And I worked both in San Francisco and San Jose. When I worked in San Jose, got a sense of what the Sharks mean to the South Bay in a way that I didn't quite understand as someone who lived in San Francisco for that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know they have fans. I know it's really important to some people, but I wonder about Joe Average guy, especially with, the Warriors are the best show in sports.
Oh man, and what a show!
And we know just how crazy the Giants. It's a crazy Giants town. Besides that, so
yeah, no, I mean you're right. There's a lot of split attentions.
By the way, are you airing the NBA Finals on your station? Or are they getting bumped by the Giants games?
Yeah, they're bumped. I mean, it's split, you know. Luckily, game one, there's a day game for the Giants, so game one will be on the larger frequency. The other games will be doubled on a larger frequency talk station.
Yeah, you get the simulcast, but...
Yeah, but no, they can't
get the NBA Finals on the main channel.
There is a contractual situation with the Giants where they always get priority.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Giants are a big deal in that town. And
yeah, they are.
So you just wonder how much room there is in people's hearts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's enough room in people's hearts. Again, I don't know that it's – well, I mean, how big is the NHL anywhere? I don't know. This is a hard question for me to answer. But I think there is significant love for the Sharks in the Bay.
So let's get to the NBA, because that's what we really care about here, right?
True.
Because we're others like us.
But go Sharks.
Indeed. Okay, so, like, what is the dominant storyline to you coming into these NBA finals?
Wow. I mean, I assume we want to go beyond finals rematch in this in the answer.
I mean, if that's to me, it's not finals rematch. I suppose that is a storyline.
I think that it's a combination of that, and it's a question of I think the dominant storyline we're going to hear about is who's the best player in the world.
Yeah, I mean,
Steph
doesn't it feel like that is kind of up for grabs right now?
Yeah, but you know, as a basketball junkie, it's a very complicated question that I don't think this series necessarily answers. But yeah, I think that is the storyline we are going to hear about.
Yeah, well, and I think coming off the heels of this last series, which was obviously fantastic.
Oh, man. So good.
You know, certainly the Westbrook versus Curry subplot really became a thing. You know, it's weird because you don't even necessarily know that Westbrook is the best player in the Thunder.
Yeah.
But
yeah. He thinks he is.
It's pretty clear that Westbrook and to another extent Chris Paul, wow. I think both feel like they are better than Steph Curry. I'm not saying this is correct. In fact, I think they're both loud wrong.
Chris Paul is loud wrong.
They
I mean,
both
Russell
feel
Westbrook
like they're
an argument.
Feel like they're better than Steph Curry. And I think when they play the Warriors, or sort of they play like they're hell bent to prove this. And
yeah.
A lot of was made of some of Russell's post game comments. I think the laughing thing was a little overblown. To be honest,
it was a really, really, really bad look.
I agree.
You might be right.
I think contextually, he was laughing at the question, and not at Steph Curry.
That's a silly distinction in my eyes.
No,
question is laughing at Steph Curry.
No. Here's why. Look, I'm not necessarily a Westbrook defender, and anyone
like
who knows
Russell
me knows I love Steph Curry. So, but yeah. The question was asked, by the way, of Durant, if Curry's five, yeah, of Durant, Westbrook's in the background, of Curry's five steals, you know, Curry had five steals tonight. Do you think that, people underrate his defense? And both Westbrook laughing and Durant's answer were basically saying, look, steals are a really poor indicator of, what a good defensive player is. And
I don't think that's it at all.
And on top of that, Westbrook is a perfect example of that because he's a guy that gambles a lot for steals
and plays
poor positional team defense.
Steals is certainly true. And I think they know that. I think it's really giving Russell a pass to say his laughter, his expression, his response to that question was purely a response to the asker of the question not fully understanding NBA defense, as opposed to laughter at the concept of Steph Curry.
That's exactly how I read it when I watched it.
Do you really think he's that naive?
I don't think it's – look, I think the guy had a reaction in the moment. Certainly a person who is laughing at a question asked –
he laughed and buried his head for about a minute while Kevin Durant answered that question.
Right, as if to say that's ridiculous. And to me, I think the point made there, it is kind of ridiculous. Like, it wasn't like Steph went out – look – I believe that Steph Curry, and I think I've been on the record in this conversation, that Steph Curry's a better player than Russell Westbrook. But it's not because Steph Curry shut Russell Westbrook down on defense.
He did a pretty good job.
That's not why. No, he didn't even guard him that much.
He guarded him a decent amount, and he did a pretty good job.
And
Steph Curry's I would say that while he has gotten a lot of steals, the actual improvement in Steph Curry's defense was on display in that series, and that is the fact that he works hard to stay in front of guys now. And he does a damn good job of it, actually. And the fact that he was able to keep his feet in front of Russell Westbrook when he was guarding Westbrook, I think, is a testament to that. Now, Klay Thompson is a better defender than Steph Curry, as is Andre Iguodala, but that is really not a knock on Steph Curry's defense at all.
Yeah, no, that's not a knock on anybody's defense.
So to say that he is... You know, Durant's response, which was accurate, if somewhat disrespectful, was essentially that, yeah, he's pretty good, but he doesn't always guard the other team's best point guard, which, again, of course, is true because he's got two or three other guys on his team that are better defenders.
Right.
But that's because those are two or three of the best defenders in basketball. So saying that Steph Curry doesn't always guard other point guards, which, by the way, he does a pretty good amount, is not saying much. And going through what I, you know, again, was about a minute long explanation of how, yeah, he's okay, but he's really not all that. Even that, to me,
you know, don't you think that's accurate though? Don't you think that's an accurate summation of Steph Curry's defensive ability? Yeah, he's okay. He's not all that.
I think it was accurate for a marginally disrespectful explanation. Yeah,
I don't see it. I think that's us. That's us making something. We want these guys to fight. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah. Well, that's the difference. I don't think Durant was trying to be. I don't think Durant's trying to throw shade. I think Durant is trying to, without saying that guy's the best. Durant is trying to give a reasonable reaction, an honest response to the question. That, to me, though, is why Russell Westbrook, essentially giggling for 65 seconds, it's a long time to put on a show of, oh, what a ridiculous question.
I guess. To me, that question was worthy of derision.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
I don't agree with that.
It is. It's not a question that, like, if you look, the question of, is Steph Curry a better player than what Russell Westbrook is an I'm never going to say the dude's name. Russ. is Steph better than Russ? Like, that's a legitimate and interesting question. Is Steph's defensive ability equal to the task of containing Russell Westbrook's, I think I got that one right, offensive ability? Not an interesting question. That's not an interesting question. The answer is clearly no. So
that wasn't the question.
Yes, it was. All right, we're gonna have to go back and look this up. We're so off tangent now because the point that I was trying to make is that I feel like LeBron very much feels the same way that these guys do, and I think you will see a LeBron that's coming out to play angry. And I think LeBron is right in the sense of talking about the most valuable. And, you know, there are a lot of different ways you can parse that, and that this series isn't necessarily going to settle who's better once and for all. But I do think that that is going to be the narrative. And I certainly think when you look at the pressure LeBron James is going to be under as a guy who could potentially now go to six straight finals and only won two, and what that means for his legacy.
I mean, let's start there. What does that mean to you for his legacy?
To me,
I can answer this very quickly.
It doesn't mean that much. It doesn't mean that much. Six straight finals. Six straight finals is an amazing achievement.
Yeah,
I think that you can. When you look at his finals record, he often did not go into those finals with the better team.
Now,
I think he did have one where the Dallas series they should have won. He did have the better team in that one. I think I don't think it's a stain on his record at all. But I think a lot of people
That's the point.
You know what I mean?
But
particularly if they're judging him vis-a-vis Jordan, who didn't lose a final.
Yeah, but...
although it's weird. Isn't it weird how people like totally have erased that Orlando Magic series from their memory?
Well, I mean, is it weird? I don't think it's... I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it?
I mean, I guess. It's never, you know, like... You ever see the Magic Bulls series on Hardwood Classics?
No, I mean, he's wearing number 45. He's played like 30 games, if that. Yeah. And that's not really Michael Jordan.
I don't know. He played in the series and they lost.
Look, if that makes you feel better about living in a world where Michael Jordan wasn't on your team, then that's great. Good for you. I don't know what to say
look,
about that.
I'm not saying it's ruins the legacy of Michael Jordan. That's not my point. Obviously, it's okay to lose in the finals, man. Magic did it. Bird did it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that was not the finals, of course. That was the Eastern Conference, but
right.
But yeah. That is, although, you know, maybe a dumb distinction in some ways. It draws attention perfectly to this situation. In the same way that, I mean, we have the same conversation about football a lot. I don't change my opinion of Eli Manning as a quarterback just because he was on two Super Bowls.
Yeah, but see, I mean,
I don't.
Isn't part of the argument for that, though, and believe me, I'm a huge proponent of that, is that football is such a team game with so many players, and even Eli Manning, who touches the ball far more than anybody else on his team, is only going to have the ball for less than 50% of the plays. Certainly we can all agree that one individual has the ability to affect the outcome of a basketball game to a much greater extent than one individual has the ability to affect the outcome of a football game. Yeah,
of course. But if that wasn't true, LeBron's teams wouldn't even be in the finals,
you know?
So it's the same principle. Just because one player has more of an effect in basketball, it doesn't change the principle. The principle is simple. It's a team sport. And to judge the particular effect of an individual player in a team sport, it requires some intelligence.
And some context.
And it requires some qualitative analysis. You're going to have to be able to make judgments based on more things than points and rings. You're just going to have to think a little deeper about it.
Well, and you and I are proponents of that, but like, don't you think that largely the embrace debate culture that we currently live in is going to judge people on points and wins with a Z?
Yeah, well, but that's stupid. I don't know what I'm supposed to say to that. Yeah, I guess that's what our idiot culture is going to do, but I'm not going to sit here and say, all right, I guess we're stuck with that. It's dumb.
Right.
It's a dumb way to do it. It doesn't make sense. It's dumb. There's really nothing else to say about it. If you look at LeBron and you skip Bayless it and you say, oh, he's 2-4 in the finals. How good could he possibly be? You're just an asshole. Honestly. You're just a dumb asshole.
It's true.
I don't know what to say to these people anymore. If you can't figure out that LeBron getting his team, if you watch last year's finals, where he took a team that was a literal pile of garbage.
Yeah, literally.
Like, literally. Matthew Dellavedova is like, what was that book where there's like the kid in, it was a kid's story, there's like the kid in class who smells and they keep taking jackets off of him until finally it's just a dead rat? That's Matthew Dellavedova in a basketball uniform. He is literally a piece of garbage. And he may have been the second best player on that team in the finals last year.
It's
so
possible.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a team. I mean, his last Cleveland team before he went to Miami, what was it, like Donyell Marshall, who was his number two? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
The guy has been the best player on the planet for about a decade. And calling him a choker or talking about how he doesn't win the big one because he's had the significantly worst team in the finals most of the time he's been there, that's dumb.
Right.
Now, if you want to point to the one where they blew it to Dallas, you could say that's a series maybe they should have won that they lost. And feel free to criticize LeBron for that if you want. I'll still take him on my team 10 times out of 10.
Certainly.
And if it gets down to a big moment, not only am I fine with LeBron on my team, but I believe very confidently that I'd be better off in whatever situation with LeBron on my team than almost anybody else.
Right. Well, and look, if you like the Warriors to win this series, I'm guessing we both do. A huge part of that is because you look at Cleveland and you wonder how they're going to be able to hide both Kyrie and Love defensively for significant stretches of the ball game. And that's just – it just literally has nothing to do with how good a player LeBron is.
That's right. And that and the fact that generally, defensively, in this stretch where they've played incredible offensive basketball, because of the players they're using to do it, their overall defense has struggled.
Right.
And against the Warriors – I think LeBron showed you last year with his incredible force of will and the team defense that the Cavs did play in last year's finals. I think LeBron showed you the better way to try to beat the Warriors is to drag it the other direction. Try to slow it down. Try to beat them with force and defense. Trying to boat race them is a very dangerous game.
Yes. Certainly trying to boat race them 4 out of 7 seems... Yeah. Foolish.
Yeah,
even with the world-class offensive roster that they have over there, it's crazy.
Right. And they may change strategies midstream, or they may discover that boat racing 4 out of 7 is tough. But you know, look, they also might grab a couple early ones like the Thunder did.
Yeah,
because
could
the
be selected boat racing.
Yeah. And it's fun to watch, man.
Yeah, and look, there is, I think, at least certainly a possibility that LeBron's Herculean will be enough to overcome this, and that somehow he's going to play, with a kind of force and fury that it would be enough to carry them, and that even as someone rooting, like openly rooting for the other side, that prospect as a fan of basketball is thrilling. It's incredibly thrilling.
Well, and just the fact of last year you had this matchup, and afterwards, I mean the whole playoffs, afterwards we heard a ton of, well, the Warriors got a bunch of injured opponents, blah, 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 they didn't really get pushed, blah, 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 and this year is the opposite. I mean, they just got pushed as hard as you can get pushed by a team that was 100% and that has some incredible talent on it. And now they're heading into the finals against the Cavs team that is almost the exact version that the other Cavs team last year said, oh, if we only had that other version, you guys would be in big trouble.
Yep.
So from that, you know, in that way, that's why I said finals rematch at the beginning, is that to me is all part of the sort of two best players in the world argument. And you know, as far as that goes... The Warriors may just have come back and defeated the, third and fifth, fourth and sixth best players in the world on the same team. So this is a compelling playoff run, no doubt about that.
Right. Well, and it's just, you know, you get back to the two players in the world thing, and then you just then have to try to untangle them from their teammates. And
right.
it's just a ridiculous task.
Yeah, it's a tough ask, but that's why... I mean, at the risk of sounding like a tool, that's why we have sports talk professionals.
Yes,
is
suppose.
To have actual talks about this.
Well, and we're
not
so
cut ourselves off from the actual debate by saying dumb things like LeBron's 2-4 in the finals. He's not a winner.
Right. So people want to be so binary. You know what I mean? Like.
Yep.
Like the
Kevin
idea
Durant
that you
sucks.
Right,
Kevin Durant choked.
Right, that you would want to prefer one of these players over the other means one's great and the other one's terrible. Whereas, you know what I mean? Where it's like, where clearly these are two amazing game-changing players, like literally game-changing players.
Yes.
And you know, one might just change it slightly more than the other. And, you know, that means you'd love one and hate the other. And that's just the way our modern sports society is.
Well, all right. It's the way our modern society is, unfortunately.
Speaking of modern society and people living in old societies, I wanted to throw this out. I guess it'll be homework for people who haven't seen it. It's kind of on the internet, and frankly, you don't even need to see it. You'll get the gist of it from, I think, this conversation. The other thing that's starting up this week that I'm particularly excited about is the Copa America.
Copa.
For those of you who are not familiar, I'm going to explain Copa America, and I think I can do it. I think I could probably do it in under 30 seconds.
I bet you could do it in under 5 seconds if you wanted to.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll give it a try, all right? So the Copa America is the championship of South America. 2 years prior to the World Cup, the champions of Europe, or the countries of Europe and the countries of South America, who are our two greatest soccer continents, each have a tournament. And this year, the U.S., on the 100th anniversary, is hosting the tournament and has been invited to play in this tournament, which is against the best South American teams in the world. Meanwhile, Europe is playing the Euros at the same time. That's Copa America.
Are any other North American teams involved?
Yeah, Mexico is playing in this tournament. They often do. The U.S. is, okay. I believe this is our fourth time. We don't do this all that often. And then Mexico is in it, and Costa Rica from CONCACAF is in it as well.
Okay.
So we're going up against Brazil and Argentina and Chile.
Some of the best teams in the world.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of great soccer
Colombia
stars will be
on
here.
Friday.
Colombia. Colombia. Yeah, Colombia. That's a very tough opener for the U.S. Yep. All right. So Copa America is going to be fun. It's going to be cool. Unless you hate soccer. And there are those people out there. There was an article, I guess a bunch of articles, kind of a Copa America preview in the New Sports Illustrated, which set Mike Francesa off. Do we need to explain who Mike Francesa is?
He's a New York radio guy. I think that's enough.
Yeah, well, and you know, certainly a godfather of the sports talk radio format. He's been, you know, doing the show for years and years. Kind of the you know,
God grandfather,
maybe word, yeah. So Francesa is a noted soccer hater,
yeah,
and goes on an 8-minute rant about why are there. He actually counts the pages. That's a lot.
11.
Half of the rant is him sitting there counting the pages.
Yeah,
why there are 11 pages devoted to soccer?
How many pages in my Sports Illustrated? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He counts all the way to 11. And here's the thing, because I'm holding that Sports Illustrated right now. There are 60 pages in this Sports Illustrated. 6-0. In other words, 11. Let's just be generous and call it 12. That's 20% of 1 week of Sports Illustrated devoted to a gigantic international tournament in the world's most popular sport.
Rep.
So let's just start with that. Nothing could be more reasonable than dedicating 1/5 of a weekly sports magazine, 1 week, to a gigantic international sports tournament. It is so basically reasonable and normal that even noticing it is pretty extreme.
Yeah, I agree.
Secondly, for someone, he literally, I only got through 2 or 3 minutes of this nonsense. He literally, in that first 2 or 3 minutes, begins by saying directly and with no filter or like soft selling it at all, I hate soccer. I think it's dumb. I'm deliberately standing on I hate soccer corner.
I don't know anything about it.
I don't want to look at it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to hear about it. And then, right after that, in order to make the point that, quote, nobody cares about soccer, he says to his producer, no one ever contacted our show about trying to get soccer people on to promote this. Am I right? See, nobody cares. And it's like, dude, you just yelled about how you scream your hatred for soccer from the rooftops.
Not for the first time, I might add.
Of course they didn't call your show to promote soccer. What kind of moron? I mean, it is literally the dumbest line of argument you could pursue.
Right, you would do a terrible job. The amazing thing about this whole Copa America thing is I listened to the whole 8 minutes. He gets through 8 minutes and does not understand that the U.S. is playing in the tournament. Like, yeah. I literally mentioned every other team playing. It's a glorious slog through a man's own ignorance. And here's the thing, right? You get the dumb line of argument that you're talking about, and this is one that as a radio person I deal with this all the time. Well, me and my friends are interested or not interested in this, and therefore right. No one is.
Right. I'm sure you get it all the time with, why are you playing that dumb song? Me and my six friends hate that dumb song.
We
Nobody
all hate
likes it.
It. Yeah, I talk to people.
Well, guess what, bro? I'm looking at the actual listenership and actual listener response, and guess what? Most people like that song.
Yeah. You know, we literally have hundreds of thousands of listeners. Some of them might have a different opinion.
Yeah, that's hard for you to wrap your head around. There's millions of people in America. I know this is crazy, Mike Francesa, but not all of them agree with you.
Right. And, you know, objectively, the numbers, you know, ratings number for soccer are growing by leaps and bounds. Like the Premier League broadcasts on NBC are, I think it's something like 500% up from where they were 3 years ago.
Yeah, and those are like 6 a.m. on a Saturday or Sunday.
You know, so like, in the middle of like football season half the time. So
exactly. So on a Friday afternoon in the summer, guess what? A lot of people are going to watch this soccer tournament.
Especially when you get national teams involved. And certainly yep. we know what kind of numbers the World Cup does. We know what kind of numbers the Women's World Cup does. So
yep.
It's the idea that people aren't interested in this.
I mean, maybe more to the point, we know the kind of numbers soccer does as a sport in this country among youth.
Yep.
And soccer is still one of, if not the most played youth sport.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that, you know, there's this old guy corner, and you can hear kind of Francesa just going, well, I grew up Sports Illustrated, and they never had stuff I wasn't interested in, which is a lie. Because I also grew up on Sports Illustrated. Is a huge influence on my writing. They wrote about random ass sports all the time.
My dad's cousin is a man by the name of Franz Lids.
Right, who's written in Sports Illustrated, correct?
He was a Sports Illustrated writer for the vast majority of my childhood. I made a photo cameo appearance in Sports Illustrated in an article that he wrote about Battletech, which is a video game, a remote video game location in Chicago and a couple other places that you had to go into to play a video game. And guess what? More people are interested in soccer, Mike Francesa, than in Battletech.
Yeah, and look,
I guarantee it. Franz made a career of writing about stuff that a very small percentage of people cared about in the vaguely related to sports world. And like, the idea that Sports Illustrated has been just basketball and football and baseball for his entire career is just clueless.
Well, and it's just so – and this is where, you know, you can kind of take it out to larger than the Francesa corner. Because, you know, Kornheiser's on this corner and Jim Rome's on this corner. You know, there are certainly local guys in your market who are on that corner and my market too, I'm sure. Because it's just – it's a Baylissian position to take.
I don't know. The people in Minnesota are nice.
I don't care about soccer. I didn't grow up caring about soccer. No one is going to care about soccer. And it's just demonstrably false. And it's, by the way, it's perfectly okay that you don't care about soccer.
Of course it is.
Just recognize that other people are watching this and they're interested in it. Is that?
You know, honestly, or don't. But it's the same as when we have these free speech conversations about dumb racists, you know, yes, free speech exists, so you can say that dumb racist thing, but then you have to go over and stand there on dumb racist corner with the other dumb racists.
Yes.
So if you're going to be a dumb soccer hater, God bless, you're allowed to do that, but you're going to end up on dumb soccer hater corner with the other dumb soccer
yeah.
haters.
It's Look.
Not – It's just that's who you are then. So go ahead and be that guy if you want to.
I'm on record in saying that I don't believe that golf is a sport. Pretty sure I've said it on this podcast.
You've said it before, yes. You're completely wrong.
That's a discussion
for another time.
I'm willing to stand on golf is ridiculous island. I'm happy to rent space on it. But I also understand that, you know, there are people who are interested in golf for reasons I don't entirely understand.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it.
You can yell on a podcast about how golf is not a sport and you think it's dumb. but you're not going to make a argument that they
why is
take
golf
the Masters
yeah,
off of television.
Yeah, why is this golf in my Sports Illustrated?
I can't believe Tiger's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I don't care about golf.
All right. And on that note, we got to get out of here because I got another podcast I got to record.
Oh, I see. Big podcast guy. Always busy. I overslept.
You did oversleep. do we need to give homework for anybody? I had a whole other topic that I wanted to talk about, but we'll maybe save that for another time.
The gorilla topic?
Yeah, when it's no longer in the news. All right.
Well, it's okay because it slid under my radar anyway. So whenever we talk about it, you're gonna have to explain it to me.
Okay, watch some shows this week, people, and enjoy your time. And
here's homework actually that maybe you would even engage in, and it's good because episode one was a little over a week ago, and episode two is coming up this weekend. The show Preacher.
Oh yeah.
Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, Seth Rogen's writing partner, who they've done a lot of great stuff together in my eyes. They developed a graphic novel called Preacher into a television show that I watched the first episode of and was really engaged. And I'm excited for episode two. So, if you can squeeze those in, it's on AMC. And I think it's super interesting. The first episode has a ton of characters and a ton of exposition, but I'm intrigued.
Okay. And I can do that on demand. And I suggest you guys do as well. All right. We got to get out of here.
All right.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.